what to study next for our Bible study. You know, we've been going through John, Gospel of John, and now in John 17, and I'm now preaching these messages. And the book of Romans kept coming to mind and stayed with me, so I take that as being the Lord's will that we're to look at this. Amazingly, in the Lord's providence, it was the very first book that we studied together when I came here 28 years ago. Very first book we studied together, and then exactly 14 years later, I didn't plan it, but we studied it again. All right, here it is, another 14 years later, and I did not plan that. But John Calvin, whom I esteem highly, said, if you understand Romans, you'll understand all the Scripture, all of the Bible. It is a summary of all the doctrine of God, of Christ. And it is doctrine. It's teaching, it's instruction from God's Word. It's His truth. But again, like we looked at, when was it? The last time we met together was last Wednesday night, Wednesday before last, wasn't it? We looked at Deuteronomy 32, where he said, my doctrine shall drop as rain and my speech as dew. So if the Lord will bless this will not just be doctrine. This will drop like rain, be like dew, refreshing dew. It'll refresh you and bless you. If heard with hunger and thirst, to give you great peace and joy. Just give you an interesting story about this. Robert Haldane, who wrote, Dad knows Robert Haldane, he wrote perhaps one of the best commentaries on the book of Romans ever. It's one of my favorite and the favorite of many. He was a Scottish preacher back in the 1700s. Well, he went to Switzerland where the Reformation, Calvin, Knox, Zwingli, Huss, the Reformation started. He went there just to visit. And he found some young students in the ministry there. But they didn't know the Lord. Maybe they were ministerial students, but they didn't know God, didn't know Christ, didn't know the truth. And so Haldane began to teach these young, there were several of them, a dozen or more, began to teach them through the book of Romans. Well, the Lord saved most of those young men through his teaching and preaching through Romans. And the Lord started a great revival in Switzerland that carried over into France. And there was a man named Frederick Monod who, anybody who's read the old writers, he's just a wonderful gospel preacher and writer. The Lord used him to establish what's called the free churches in France. France is a predominantly Catholic country. Well, the Lord sent the gospel there through a man just teaching Romans. All of that started and carried over through that. And Romans, you know, the church at Rome is where Paul, you know, wrote this to. But anyway, the summary, here's a summary of the whole book of Romans, all right? Speaks of God, our Creator, in chapter 1. Speaks of the Creator. Speaks of His power, His Godhead. Speaks of the fall of man, his corruption, his depravity. It speaks of man being dead. It speaks of the law of God. Brings up the law of God. The purpose of the law. Use of the law. It speaks of salvation one way. Jesus Christ. Not the law. But by Jesus Christ. That's the theme. Theme of all of God's Word. Salvation by grace. Justification by faith. This is what Luther heard from Romans that saved his soul. And justification by faith, not law, faith in Christ. It speaks of election, speaks of predestination, speaks of reprobation, speaks of justification, speaks of propitiation, speaks of sanctification. It speaks of the walk of faith, grace that produces work. The book of Romans, this is God's book. This is God's word. I look forward to going through it with you. Romans, look at it with me. Let's begin. Verse 1, Paul. Paul. No title. Not Reverend Doctor. Not the Right Reverend Holy Father Doctor. No, sir. No prophet ever used the term prophet in front of his name, capitalized. Ever. No apostle ever took a title. Never. No, sir. John, of whom the Lord said, no man ever greater born of woman than John. He wouldn't even tell them his name. Paul. Paul. A servant of Jesus Christ. He served Jesus Christ, his cause. The cause of Christ, the gospel. Christ's people, his church. That's what a true God-called servant does. He serves God's cause, God's Son, God's Christ, God's gospel, God's people. That's what he's in it for. Verse 1, separated unto the gospel of God, totally sold out to, separated unto, devoted to. Similar word is sanctified, consecrated, devoted to the gospel of God. He said, I'm called to be an apostle. Now, apostle was a messenger sent by Christ, a messenger. With a message, one message, Christ and him crucified, the gospel. He said, I was called to be an apostle. Go over to Galatians 1 with me, Galatians chapter 1. No prophet, no apostle ever applied for the job. It's a calling. Same with evangelists, pastors, preachers, and teachers. It's a calling. Galatians 1, verse 1. Here he is again. He says, Paul. An apostle, not the apostle, not the apostle, an apostle. One time he said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. I'm not fit to be called an apostle or a disciple. Humility, meekness, an apostle, but not of men. They didn't make me an apostle. Neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Listen to me. There are no more apostles. An apostle had to have three credentials. This is what made an apostle, or rather who? An apostle had to see Jesus Christ. And Paul did, didn't he, on the road to Emmaus. An apostle had to receive his calling, his ministry, from Jesus Christ. And Paul did. The Lord said, you're a chosen vessel unto me to send the gospel out. And number three, an apostle had to have the gifts, the miracles, the signs, healing, languages, and so forth of the apostles. The apostles, some of them, raised the dead. There are no more apostles. We don't need them anyway. Don't need them. And those signs, those miracles, were credentials proving that God sent them, that God equipped them, that they were men raised up by God. And what they said was not just God's word. I mean, not their word, but God's word. And people must hear what they said as being the word of God himself. There are no more apostles. Some take that title. And they're false. False apostles. All right? So Paul said, I'm called to be an apostle. Look at verse 11 in Galatians 1. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Neither I didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see that? Look at verse 15. And when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. He went on to say, I conferred not with flesh and blood, no hierarchy. And then over in another place, Paul said, he said, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory in. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So an apostle, the prophets preach the gospel. An apostle was sent to preach the gospel. Nothing else, to do nothing else. So it is with evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Preach the gospel. All right, go back to our text. He said, I'm separated unto the gospel. Now here is a declaration of the gospel. There's no clearer, plainer declaration of the gospel in all of God's word than right here. Paul immediately begins to tell us what the gospel is. Here it is. It's a description of the gospel. Number one, verse one. Separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel begins with God. As everything began with God. In the beginning, how's the whole book begin? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, the whole story of creation is a gospel story. Brother Pruitt preached that to us, didn't he? How that creation is such a clear picture of salvation that's in Christ, who is the light. Genesis 1 goes on and on about that. The gospel of God, Paul said. It's the gospel of God. God the creator. God the who reigns and rules in the armies of heaven, and the inhabitants of the earth. God who is God, reigning and ruling. He's the architect. He is the author in great wisdom and great glory. Amazing wisdom and glory, created, authored, was the architect of this greatest story ever told, the gospel. This is God's gospel. He's the one that purposed it. And 2 Timothy 1, brother, go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Brother Don Bell, these are the verses the Lord used to save his soul. You need to turn to it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 speaks of this gospel and its power. The gospel of God. When it began, with whom it began. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. He says to young Timothy, don't be ashamed. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. According to the power of God. It's the gospel of the power of God. Here's the gospel. It's the gospel of God who hath saved us and called us. Read on. With an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Here's the gospel. It began with God. God purposed it. God authored it before the world began. Christ is called the Lamb slain before the world began it. In the mind, the purpose of God, it was all, he declared the end from the beginning. The gospel. Read on. But now, verse 10, is made manifest, revealed, made clear by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Here's the gospel. What Christ hath done, abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto, the gospel, I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher. Go back to our text. This is the gospel of God. It's God's gospel. God's gospel. The gospel of God. Read verse 2 with me. Which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. This is the gospel of the Old Testament. The gospel was preached by the law and by the prophets. That's what Hebrews said. That the gospel was preached to Abraham. Our Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Christ is the gospel. And he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it. And he was glad. Jacob. Who was it wrestled with Jacob? Christ did. Who was it that came walking in the garden and spoke to the first two sinners? Jesus Christ. He is the gospel. This is the gospel promised in all the types, pictures, symbols, ceremonies, nearly every person, place, and thing in the Old Testament is a picture of, a type, represents the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. Everything. The Old Testament, it is in picture, in type, in promise, says someone's coming. Someone's coming. Then the Gospels say, He's here, of whom Moses wrote. He's here, of whom the prophets spoke of. He's here, Christ said, I'm here. God said, He's here, the one I promised of. I love Isaiah 25, verse 9. Love it, love it, love it. It says, it shall be said in that day, this is our God, we've waited on Him. He'll save us. That's Christ. He's God manifest in the flesh. God our Savior, Jehovah, manifest in the flesh. The Lord Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, preached Himself, didn't He? To those disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. He began at Moses, the prophets, in the Psalms, and expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Because that's what the gospel is. Look at it in our text. Verse 3. This is concerning God's Son. Verse 3. The gospel of God, promised in picture, in type, in the Old Testament, in the Holy Scripture, is concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, a child was born. Yeah. But the Son was given. The eternal Son of God, who was with the Father in the beginning, daily His delight, whose delights were with the sons of men, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth. Proverbs 7, 8 speaks of Him. But He was made flesh. In the volume of the book, it's written of Him. Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. A body hast Thou prepared me. Christ came in the flesh, the Son of the Most High. This gospel is concerning God's Son, sent by God. You see, the gospel of man's salvation is not concerning man, but concerning God's Son. The gospel has to do with us, or the gospel is our salvation. But it is not man's will. This gospel, the gospel is God's will. Of His own will begat He us with His word of truth. Born of God, not of the will of the flesh, the will of man. It is God that worketh in us to will. Not of him that willeth that runneth, but of God. This gospel of God is not concerning man's will. Man wasn't even around when God willed it, when God purposed it. But this is God's will. It's of God's will. This is not man's choice. The gospel is not something that concerns man's choice, but completely concerns God's choice. God chose whom He would. To save whom He would. Because He would. This is not concerning man's work. The gospel. The gospel is not concerning man's works. No, no. This gospel is concerning God's work. Christ's work. The Holy Spirit's work. And that's what makes it such good news to sinners. That this is God's work. And He that purposed this work will perform it. Will completely. And He that hath begun a good work in you, He'll finish it. My next message this morning is, Christ said, I finished the work. This work of God, this great work of God's Son is concerning God's Son, who was sent by God to do this great work of redemption. By Himself. By Himself. He's the covenant head. He's the surety. He's the Savior of His people. Look at verse 3. He was Jesus Christ, our Lord, made Lord by God. That's what Psalm 2 says, doesn't it?
He was made Lord by God. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, it's not that Christ was ever truly made, but a body hast thou prepared me, he said. God made him a body. A body was made for him. He had no beginning or end. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He is very God, a very God, with no beginning and no end of day. But he was given a body, and that body came from the line of David. David, by design, by purpose, according to God's word, according to God's will, he was made, Scripture says, of the seed of David according to the flesh. Why David? Because David was God's chosen king. You remember the story of David over in 1 Samuel 16? It wouldn't take much for me to go back there and preach that if somebody requested it. What a story. David, you know, grew up and was a keeper of the sheep. And when it was time, in the fullness of time, God had him brought in before the prophet, Samuel the prophet. David came in from keeping the sheep out. He was ruddy, red in the face. And our God said to Samuel, "Arise, anoint him. This is he." And that's what all the scriptures say. He's coming. And when he came, this is what God says to every prophet. This is he. This is what God says to every knee. Bow the knee. This is he. Every tongue confess. This is he. This is the anointed one. This is the Christ who was to come. Why David? Because David was God's king. God's king. Christ is even called the son of David, though he's not. He didn't come from David. His mother and his father, his so-called mother and his so-called father, Joseph, both did. But he, when the angel announced his birth to Mary, she said, "This holy thing is not from man, but this is of God. This is the seed of God." That's what he's called, the seed of God. Seed of God. And so he came. Christ came of the line, the lineage, the house of David, because Christ was to be the king. The king of Israel, the king of the Jews, not over there. They rejected him, didn't they? They crucified him. They don't want him. And he's not ever going to sit on a throne over there in Jerusalem. But I'm telling you right now, he is the king of Israel. He is the king of the Jew. But he's not a Jew. Romans 2 says it. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but inwardly. Salvation's of the Jews, all right. Christ is the king of the Jews, and Christ is reigning right now and ruling on the throne in Mount Zion. But it's an unseen kingdom. This is why, part of the reason, why he came from the seed of David. There's to be a king sitting on the throne in Israel, but not that place. But Israel, New Jerusalem, which someday is going to come down out of heaven, which right now is here. Among you. Peter preached this over in Acts 2, this morning's message. I hope you heard it. And this morning's message, Peter preached right now, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, reigning and ruling on the throne, on the throne. Verse 4. Said he's made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He's declared to be the Son of God with power. God's gospel, the gospel, declares the eternal Son of God with power. How much power? Now, people, this is the gospel. Anything less than this is not the gospel. Do you hear me? This is how this starts. That he's declared to be the Son of God with power. How much power? What did Christ say? All power is given unto me. As thou hast given him power over who? All flesh.
Any gospel less than that, any gospel, any so-called gospel preacher that stands up and tells people Jesus has done all he can do, now it's up to you, is not the gospel. This is the gospel of the power of Christ, the gospel of the power of God. It took the power of God and the power of Christ and the power of the Spirit of God to work out this gospel, to work out our salvation. All power. Christ said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Power over principalities and powers. This is good news. This is good news. Our Christ has all power. Unto him that's able to present us, to keep us from falling. Power, all power. It is another gospel that says Christ wants to. Wants to anything. Tries to. He has power over all flesh. He has power over all principalities and power. He has power to kill, power to make alive, power to wound, power to heal, power to save, power to destroy. All power is given unto me, Christ said. Any gospel less than that is not the gospel, and it's another Jesus. He created this world. Salvation is his work. Providence is his work. All is in the power of Jesus Christ. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Especially his people. Now isn't that good news? This is the gospel. It's no good. It's no gospel. It's no good news if he's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. Whew, if anything's up to me, I'm a goner. And he's a liar that says anything less than this. All power. I wish I could preach this with power. Declared to be the Son of God with power. Verse 4. According. Now here's how we know he has all power. That he's the Son of God. God in the flesh. The Spirit of holiness. He's declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness. Two things. At his baptism. You remember, it says the Spirit of God descended upon him as in the form of a dove. Landed on him, declaring him, the Holy Spirit of God. He's the anointed one. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God, of whom the prophets spoke. This is he. God the Father spoke out loud, said, this is my Son. This is my well-beloved, only begotten Son. Hear him. The Spirit of God declares that he's the Son of God. And by the Spirit of holiness. My, my. By the Spirit of holiness. By his holiness. He had no sin. He had no sin. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the Holy One. He's the just one. There's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not, Scripture says. Well, there was one. Just one. And he's the just one. The Holy One of God. No sin. In him was no sin. That's how you know he's not just a mere man. No sin. Declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness. And verse 4, I'll quit with it. And by the resurrection from the dead. He's declared to be the Son of God. And here is the gospel. That Christ rose from the dead. The gospel of God concerning God's Son. Who he is. Why he came. What he did. And who he did it for. Declares that he arose from the grave, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt, proving he is who he is. He is who the Scripture said he was. Proving everything he said is so. And everything he did was a complete accomplishment. Now the resurrection from the dead. Christ came out of that grave. He said, while on this earth, and they tried many times to kill him, to take him. He said, mine hour is not yet come. Because man can't do anything to God. Man can't touch God. And God was on the earth. He said, no man taketh my life from me. And he proved that many times when they tried to take him. And one last time before he went to the cross, he proved it in a garden. Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus. And he said, I am. And they all fell to the ground.
He said, no man taketh my life from me. He said, I lay it down of myself. I have this power. Do you have that power? Does any man have that power? No, that's not in man's power. This is not just a man. This is the Son of God who came, sent by God for God's purpose of saving his people, made to the seed of David with all power, power over all flesh, power over Satan, power over sin, power over this world, power over his people, who came to accomplish a work. And our next message, I can't wait to get to it, is he did it. He finished it. And he took away sin by the sacrifice of himself. God put him in the grave. He took our sins away like that fit man, like that scapegoat in the wilderness. And he came out of that grave like the high priest came out of the Holy of Holies. Sacrifice accepted. And he's right now seated, reigning, waiting till God makes his enemies his footstool. And he's coming back to his people. Now that's the gospel in four verses. Okay.